Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we've got with us on the line a returning guest. We've got Laura Bennett, who is the Chief Executive Officer, or as she likes to call it, the Chief Embracer from Embrace, the pet insurance company in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. And Laura, it's not just for the accent. Don't let Rick Preuss fool you. We appreciate your perspective. Last time you were on with us, we were talking about pet insurance and, unfortunately, how few people in the United States had it, especially when you compared it to Europe and other parts of the world. Has that changed at all in the months since you've been on?
Not really. In the United Kingdom, over 25% of all cats and dogs are insured. So it's totally normal. Everybody thinks of this as something that you consider and possibly have when you have a pet in the house. But in the U.S., less than 1% of all cats and dogs are insured. So it's much less well-known, and people consider it more as an oddity almost.
Well, Laura, that's a real problem because in conversations we've had with several vets, they've noticed that if a person has pet insurance or doesn't, their behavior tends to be very different when it comes to the proper treatment for their animals. What's your experience with that?
That's absolutely true. In fact, there's even an insurance-y term for that called moral hazard, which sounds absolutely awful, but it's what it means is that people behave differently with the insurance than without. Now, if you have a car and you're driving that, you really shouldn't be crashing your car more because you have insurance. But with pet insurance, that's the whole point, is that when you have the insurance, it allows you to do things that you might not otherwise have done because they cost so much. Mm-hmm. So things like lots of diagnosis, because of course dogs and cats can't talk. So you have to do more diagnostic tests because they can't tell you where it hurts.
Sure.
And a lot of times you're ruling things out, not necessarily determining what there is. So it allows you to keep going until you actually determine what the condition actually is. So pet insurance does allow you to do more. It's totally true.
And I suppose you have a lot of meetings both within your company and with others in your profession. How do we shift our society from one that, you know, kind of avoids the, you know, conversation of moral hazard and brings that up as part of it? You know, if Europe is doing it, why aren't we? And how do we get to where Europe is, where they're actually embracing the idea of, you know, being precautious, you know,
proactive.
Right. Well, I think there's not much in the way of differences between Europeans and Americans in love for pets. So there's not that issue. I think when pet insurance came about in the United Kingdom, probably about 35 years ago now, and it's been in the U.S. for about 30 years, so not that much different. It was done a little better in the United Kingdom, and people didn't have a bad experience. They, in fact, had a fairly good experience. Mm-hmm. So what happened is veterinarians saw the benefit and started to educate their clients about the benefits of pet insurance, knowing that it was actually a good and reliable product. Unfortunately, in the U.S., there have been some issues in the past with the quality of the pet insurance, where certain things that were not covered that people were surprised at. And so they didn't have such a good experience in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And, you know, didn't, so therefore, you know, word of mouth, you know, veterinarians aren't going to get on board with something that doesn't appear to work. Now, sure. Coming forward to now, over the last 10 years, new products have been coming on the market, new companies, and everybody's tidied up their act, if you like.
Sure.
So things that you would expect to be covered are covered. And the vet bill that you pay is the one that the payout is based on. And so these things are now much more in place. Veterinarians are beginning to see that these things, pet insurance is useful and does actually provide the, you know, peace of mind that people, their clients expect. So I think it's more a confidence in the product that perhaps has been lacking in the past, but that is changing.
Now, Laura, in terms of turnaround time, the way it works is one of people pay the bill and then they submit a claim to you and they get reimbursement. Typically, what is the amount of turnaround time with reimbursement for people to get their money back?
In the pet insurance industry, it's in the range of about 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Now, something that you can do to help that is when you first sign up with a pet insurance policy, you let the pet insurer know who your clinic is that you go to and that they gather the health history of your pet, because that's the first thing that's going to happen, the first claim that you have. They'll want to see the health history and just check that this wasn't something the pet already had
right.
when you signed up for your policy, because unfortunately, no pet insurer covers things that pets already have.
Right.
And Once that has happened, the process is much faster. And in fact, you know, we work very hard to get claims out the door. If you've already had a claim once with a condition that we know about and we've paid that out, we work on a 5-day turnaround so that you're pretty much going to have the money in hand before your credit card bill comes,
right.
which is how most people will pay their bill.
Well, whether it's a credit card or it's a care credit program, the point is it can take the whole concept of paying the bill out of the equation, which means that the care becomes the primary issue, which is probably
exactly.
where it belongs.
Absolutely. And it allows a veterinarian to feel comfortable that he or she can do the right medicine and the appropriate medicine. And it doesn't mean that people are going to extend the lives of their pets in an uncaring and you know, extreme manner. You know, for example, if a 16-year-old dog gets cancer, will you go ahead and put your dog through all the treatments? Well, that's up to you. That's what's up to you and your care provider to determine the appropriate level of care for that you feel. But the insurance allows the options all to be there. So it allows you to do the right thing, not just the thing that your bank account says that you can do.
And I would imagine not all policies out there cover cancer. I mean, is that just, or is it just automatically by rule they'll actually cover things like cancer?
No, there are different policies that cover different things. So some, it's an option that you might add on to increase the coverage for. But, you know, you would want to make sure that you have a comprehensive policy that covers all things like cancer. You can even get policies that cover alternative therapies and complementary therapies mm-hmm. like acupuncture and hydrotherapy and all these other good things. But what I would say is you want to make sure that you get a policy that covers hereditary conditions. That's the big one that is the biggest difference. Many of the policies out there do not cover hereditary conditions. And your listeners might be thinking, well, so what? I mean, I would have noticed by now if my dog has a hereditary condition. But unfortunately, that's not the case, particularly for purebred cats and dogs.
Okay.
So hip dysplasia would be one,
right.
which is a hereditary condition that is incredibly expensive if you should have to have surgery. I mean, it's literally a full hip replacement
okay.
in some cases. And we're talking in the range of $2,500 to $5,000, and it depends on where you live, of course, as well. And those are the sorts of things that you want covered. So cancer mostly is covered. You need to be sure of your limits. But other conditions may or may not be covered, and that's exactly what you need to find out.
Laura, what is it that your company and your industry is doing to get the word out to the public so that more people understand the low cost and high benefits that are associated with pet insurance?
As Embrace Pet Insurance, my company, we're reaching out to veterinarians because that's the first place that people will go for veterinary advice and thoughts about veterinary care. But that's only one place. If you go into a Petco, you might see information about pet insurance there. Obviously, on the internet, there's a lot of information about pet insurance. So we're trying to reach out in many different areas, but as an industry, we can do better. So we've created the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, which is members are the pet insurance companies in the U.S. and Canada, who are trying to raise the education level of people to know that there is something out there that can help. If you're the kind of person that would spend anything on your pets, then, you know, pet insurance is for you. And this is what we're trying to bring awareness to.
And Laura, let me ask this. When people are hesitant, a lot of time it really just is a cash flow issue for them. They're short of funds, and it's hard for them to afford all of that. Ballpark, what does it cost for different policies so people can understand just how reasonable they might be?
Well, on average, for a comprehensive policy, now this wouldn't include wellness, but it would include pretty much all the sort of accidents and illnesses out there, probably in the range of about $30, $25 to $30 a month for a dog, mm-hmm. and maybe $20 to $25 for a cat. And that would give you maybe a $300 a year annual deductible and a lot of coverage above that.
If we were to look 10 years ago versus now, how many more companies are out there, and how would one actually kind of weigh themselves up as to what program they should want to sign up for? You know, how would – I'm a shopper. You know, I'm looking for pet insurance. What do I do?
Yes, well, that's a really good question, because pet insurance is not as straightforward a product as you would like, but you want to do your research. So right now there are about 12 companies selling pet health insurance in the U.S. 10 years ago, there were probably about three companies. So okay. There's more choice now. And what I recommend to people is, first of all, there's a very good review site. So it's a third-party site where policyholders have gone on and put their experiences about the different companies. And it's called petinsurancereview.com.
Okay.
And that's a good place to start. So first of all, it's got a list of all the companies. There's a nice list there. And it has links to all the websites.
Okay.
You can also see, of course, the comments the policyholders are making. And, you know, in Embrace's case, for example, we have over 1,000 reviews on there. So what I recommend to people is go on and have a look at the reviews. You can look at the positive reviews, and those are interesting, obviously. But also look at the negative reviews, even for the top companies, and maybe see the themes of what people are talking about that they've had issues with, so that you'll be able to learn what is it that existing policyholders are having issues about and are wanting to express their concern. So that's a good place to start. And what you can do then is maybe narrow it down to a few companies. You can also get a quote when you go on there. If you put your name in and information, you can start to get quotes from some of these companies.
Okay.
And I would just make a list of things that you want answered. So, again, hereditary conditions. Does the company cover them?
Laura, we've run out of time, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We've been speaking this morning with Laura Bennett, who is the CEO of Embrace in Cleveland, Ohio, pet insurance company. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Williamson from the Lansing Veterinary Medical Center right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS.com.